that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And it surely will. Another week's rolled around. It's time for Radio Ranch Wrangler Coffee Time. And I love that song. We always open up our coffee time with that song. And it just, I don't know about the rest of my men, but I know it does something to this man. Strengthens me on the inner man to know that that old wheel's going to roll around again. Our Heavenly Father, we come in the blessed holy name, Jesus Christ. We proclaim not only that name, but the holiness that it radiates. The honor and the glory that goes with it. We are grateful to know the King, to serve Him, and to know that the victory is ours. Oh, Heavenly Father, give us your blessings on this Radio Ranch Wrangler Coffee Time. Guide and direct each one of us, our minds, illustrations, thoughts, scriptures. Guide and direct these airways now and whenever this is replayed to reach down and into the heart, mind, and soul of men, that they become men of God again. And remember, help us all remember that what goes around comes around. And let the enemy know we're coming back. We're coming back, and we are going to bring them down. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, good morning, men. I guess I got my Radio Ranch Wranglers online. I'm out there at the Radio Ranch Wrangler studio this morning. I'm hooked up by phone. Richard's got me hooked up. And I guess you got Charismatic Kyle sitting there with you, Richard.
Yes, sir. I am here, and good morning.
Good morning, Charismatic Kyle. And we got Just Jason online, don't we, down there in La Porte, Colorado?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Good. and we got right and ready. Richard, always ready to do whatever the 10-minute rule requires. I appreciate it much. And Richard, we're going to let you take off today. You come out of the chute first.
Well, it looks like we are continuing in these Day of the Lord events. News reports are flashing out the end of this week. I think Thursday evening had a huge tsunami and earthquake in Japan, 8.9 on the Richter scale in Japan, and caused a huge tsunami, largest that they've ever seen over there. Slammed into Japan's eastern coast early Friday morning, killed hundreds. They've got, the last I heard, they found about 300 bodies. They're looking at over 500 killed, over 600 injured, and that's just the preliminary reports on that. But just a huge earthquake, and they had had another earthquake a little bit smaller than that earlier in the week. And so, that, Pastor, I think it's just like you've been preaching, that we are experiencing these birth pangs of the return of our Lord, the end of an age that is happening. And we're seeing it all across this nation, not just here, not just that Arkansas had the largest earthquake in 35 years this past week, but all over the world.
Well, you know, the media manipulators, they determine what they want you to see, but I guess yesterday, or the day before yesterday, over in China, they had a pretty good-sized quake, what brought down several buildings, killed a lot of people. That was in China.
Well, you know,
and I never even heard a thing about it, did you?
I didn't. Did anybody else?
No.
You know, we've got...
No, I didn't hear nothing about it.
We're just sending out Newsletter 3 this year of our Dragon Slayer, and if you would like to get that, folks out there, you can write to us at Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, and request the Dragon Slayer newsletter. And one of the pieces we put in there and part of the mailbag this past month was basically recent news headlines from all over. And one is large earthquake hits northeast Japan. Now, and that was before this 8.9 quake hit just on Friday morning. Other headlines are snow, rain, flooding, plague, northeast United States. Louisiana tornado displaces 1,500. Largest earthquake in 35 years hits Arkansas. And tornadoes, wind, and rain hit the southeast. And for early spring, these are very unseasonable type weather events that are going on right here in the United States.
Yeah, but what about Charlie Sheen?
Boy, that is,
what about
that
Charlie is, Sheen?
That is on everything too. You know, I've had a chance this week to listen to a couple of talk radio shows. I don't know why I punished myself by doing that, but that is big stuff, that Charlie Sheen stuff. And I know, Pastor, you had a chance to look at a little clip or two of him, but it's unbelievable.
Well, it is, and it's, you know, it's in a diversion. It's several things, like I tried to point out in last night's radio broadcast, or the night before. It's several things, but certainly a diversion. It's to keep you from being able to see what is going on. It's all part of the aliens' plan. Keep putting that demonic son of a bitch right in front of your face, you know.
Oh, and he is a demonic looking.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
got those dark eyes on him, beady dark eyes. You can just tell that he's just completely full of demons when you look at him.
You know, there's something more. I was thinking about it. I was having prayer, early morning prayer, and here I'm going before the throne room of God. This was on Friday morning. And suddenly, Charlie Sheen was on my mind, and some things that he'd said, this and that. Well, and I thought to myself, what is going on here? I mean, how can this slip into my mind when I'm going in my mind to the throne room of God for prayer? And I think it's the demonic power. See, I've opened up a conduit where that demon is able to come in and be able to bring in these thoughts of Charlie Sheen. I mean, there's some kind of drawing power. The dirty snake son of a hell bastard has some kind of draw power. And it's drawn so much of the national consciousness towards him and his bimbo whore lifestyle and all that is antics. I think there's a spiritual connection there. And then these so-called conservative talk show host guys like Alex Jones, having him on and never even ever rebuking him for being the immoral influence that he is on our young people and the detrimental actions that he's brought for this nation. Anyway, I don't want to repeat that sermon that I did the other night, but I understand you got some email on that, didn't you, Richard?
Well, you know what? What's so weird is I probably haven't been as good as you guys as far as not putting something evil in front of my eyes. I've actually seen that show several times throughout the years, and he plays a role in that comedy show that he got fired from, exactly like his life. He's a womanizer, adulterer. He mentions drugs. I mean, and then they have the gall. They elevate him to this role, you know, this comedy role, which I don't know how many people watch it, but I think quite a few. And actually, in the TV role, he is exactly how he is in life. But yet, you know, they're so two-faced, you know, they're going to come against him and fire him and do, you know, for being this person that they're actually entertaining people with every day, every other day of the week, however often the show's on. But it's just, you know, it's so hypocritical, you know, because they elevated him up to this point, and they knew what a scumbum he was when they hired him, you know.
Yeah, it is hypocrisy.
Yeah, I think one of the big things is that they've, you know, he's speaking out against, you know, even his masters. But like you had said, Pastor, he's doing what he's told to do. He's continuing to be the actor. Yeah, I believe it was Thursday night you had the broadcast, the Charlie Sheen saga.
Yeah.
And I think many of our people were tuning in as well. We did get several emails on it, and Chris called me. Chris, one of your Acres of Diamonds men, right after the broadcast, and was commending on how well the broadcast went, and you had mentioned about writing a letter to Charlie Sheen. He had a couple suggestions for that, and
good. We'll incorporate his too.
We could do that, and you know, ways to get in touch with him and to get that type of letter out. You got an email here. I just wanted to read a couple of them while we're still on this Sheen saga. It says, Pastor, I heard some disturbing things, and the pastor was more correct than he might realize. Charlie Sheen said he had tiger blood, as the pastor said, and that is esoteric language to say he is of the Cain bloodline. He calls himself a warlock. He said he was a, quote, nail, which I heard is satanic and has something to do with nailing Christ to the cross. More and more esoteric language than we know. If anyone deserves imprecatory prayer, it is Sheen and his family.
Well, let's do a little binding and loosen, and then we'll go on with our broadcast, man.
Sounds good.
Lord, I want to practice what I've been preaching on this binding and loosen. Keys to the kingdom. Now we come together in agreement in that blessed name, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And we come in agreement against this terror bastard, this Charlie Sheen and company. The whole crowd that are using this media conspiracy to deal with the consciousness of our country. And we bind them right now. We see it done in heaven. They got plans, and Charlie Boy needs plans to make money, more money off of this, get bigger contracts, and he thus can afford more expensive porno whores and the whole works, Lord. Well, Lord, we got plans. plans for them right now because we are binding them. We're binding Sheen, his daddy, and his brother, who are all part of this, and these talk show hosts that are wanting to buddy up with him and use him to increase their ratings. And we bind their, we bind this Steen or whatever his name is that was the producer of this filth called Two Men and a Half Boy or whatever. What's it called, Kyle?
Two and a Half Men, I believe.
Two and a Half Men. We bind the whole outfit. That they cannot move. They cannot make the right moves. That whatever move they do make, it's against them. We stoke up fires with our hatred for the evil and the sin. And we call for the angels that toss these bound tears into them. We see it done in heaven. We agree that it's done. We also loose the influence, the demonic hold and influence that they seem to have with this kind of stuff, that the people would see through it, that they would not see some kind of screen idol, some rock star, some kind of media hero. They'd see a dirty, filthy, slimy little demonic snake bastard out to destroy the morality of our country, lead our children into a lifestyle that is wrong. Lord, we loose the hold that they have, and we're doing what you said to do, binding and loosing. And we're using the power right now. We're seeing it done in heaven because we know what's done in heaven will be done on earth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
And Lord, I say not only Charlie Sheen, but company. Those that want to keep company with him, like old Alex Jones and the rest of them. Oh, God, put them right there in this binding and loosing prayer. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, we can move on to something else besides that little bastard now.
Amen.
Well, on the lighter side, which it really isn't lighter, but it's kind of comical, how would you like to be driving down the freeway and pass a car that has a woman hanging onto the windshield wiper and the side mirror going about 55, 65 miles an hour? Well, that happened last week. I didn't get to it last Saturday, you know, at the Coffee with the Wranglers, but a man and a woman got in a fight, and he went to leave, and she jumped on the car hood and grabbed onto the, you know, as he was pulling away, grabbed onto the windshield wiper and the side mirror, and he drove 35 to 40 miles with her hanging onto this car window. You know, I mean, there were two people called 911 saying there is a man driving down the freeway, or I don't know if they know it was a man, but there was a car going down the freeway with a woman hanging on for her life, you know. Yeah, 35 or 40 miles down the road. Now, I can laugh because she didn't fall off. She, I don't even know how it ended. That's just the, you know, the little one-liner they gave on the news, but it was like, I mean, I can't even imagine what that would be like. You know, do you follow them? Do you just, you know, whatever. But anyways, I guess all she had was hurt fingers and her hand hurt, you know, from hanging on. But I don't know if her and her husband patched it up or what, but that would be quite amazing to see.
These are things that you would never heard about a few years ago in this country, because there was a time in this country when people had their dignity. They didn't behave like a bunch of goyim cattle. My.
Yeah.
What a story. Jason, what do you got out there?
Well, I was thinking about some scriptures this morning, and scripture that I was thinking about was that Romans 15, verse 4, says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus." And kind of struck out at me, you know, it one that, I don't know, I had it highlighted in my Bible, you know, just we have these things in the Bible written for our instruction so that we can have hope. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking about Psalms 18, verse 40, that said, "Thou hast also given," or what's it say? It says, "Thou hast also given me the necks of my enemies that I might destroy them that hate me." You know, and been hearing just a lot more on this love, love, love. They're pushing this love, love-only doctrine of Jesus Christ a lot more lately. Seems like it's gotten really strong. It's like they know that there's this hate coming, and they're trying to counteract it. They're trying to fight against it to keep it from coming in and getting into people's minds, because it's a spirit, it's a frequency that's going to be going across this land. When there is that, we know that there's that day when that hate is gonna flow in our people once again. The day the Saxon begins to hate, the wrath of the awakened. That day is coming. It's prophesied that it's coming, and we know it's going to come. And I think they know it's coming as well. And they're just putting up, they're trying to fight fire with fire. They're just coming at it a different way. And they're trying to push this love, love-only doctrine so hard right now. It's just, and it's really pathetic. You know, you can look at the scriptures. If anybody looks at the scriptures and takes it for what it's worth, you know, and reads the Psalms, reads the Proverbs, you can see that hate is having a godly attitude. When you have godly hate and hate those that hate the Lord and hate those that hate your people, you know, that is having the Spirit of the Lord. That is putting on the mind of Christ. You know, Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate." You know, God hates the perverted mouth. And it says that the beginning of knowledge is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And if you want to have the fear of the Lord, you got to hate evil. You can't love it, you know, and you're not going to change it through love. Psalms 97:10 says, "Hate evil, you who love the Lord." And these are commandments. We are commanded to have this hatred in our life, not to be caught up in this love-only doctrine that is everywhere.
It does seem like it's an absolute spell, Jason. I think you're right on target there. I know Kyle and I were talking yesterday morning about that very thing, that, you know, it's all you ever hear is love, love, love. And I know the pastor's preached on it, and we've talked about it before, but it sure seems that it's just, you know, some type of a spell, some type of this love spell. I'm reminded of the sermon you did, Pastor, the love spell that sends to hell, and that's just what it does. And you're right, Jason, the people don't read their Bible. If they would, they'd read that in Proverbs. They'd see that, you know, in Revelations 20, when he comes back on that white horse, you know, he has a flaming sword, and it's his word that comes out and kills and destroys. And it reminds me
people don't realize that they have an enemy out there, and their enemy hates them. Right. And that hatred can make them sick. I can't remember the Psalms, but I think it was Psalms 9 or 10 that talks about David being afflicted by those that hates him. And when somebody hates you, it will affect you, right, and it affects your health. And if you turn around and just love them, if you love the wicked, the ones that God hates, you're bringing the wrath of God upon yourself.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And I think that's one of the things that this ministry has done and then has continued to try to do is try to feed the hate, try to wake up people that they have enemies, and it's okay to hate your enemies. You're supposed to hate your enemies. You're supposed to hate those that hate the Lord, you know, and it's coming right out of your Bible. It's not something that is just spewed up from the pits of hell like the ADL or these Antichrist organizations would have you think. It's something that is found in your Bible. I don't know how these modern day quote unquote Judeo-Christian churches get around these verses. I guess they just overlook all of them or white them out of their Bibles.
They just don't preach on them. You know, they and that's just a perfectly good excuse or a perfectly good answer for these Judeo-Christian, you know, preachers to give. You know, Joel Osteen will give that. You know, he came out here when they had this take your gay teen to church day or whatever. You know, he didn't. I don't guess he had it at his church, but you know, he's now homosexuality is a sin, but I don't preach on that. And I think that's just what they do. They just don't preach on it. You know, they get their one or two verses and then they just repeat the mantra.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, there was a song. Well, there had been several songs along these lines, but I remember as a teenager, there was a song called Love Potion Number 9. And I don't remember all the words to it, but basically it's like a love potion puts a person into a spell. And then we got one of them Beatles singing, All We Need Is Love, Love, Love. All we need is love. Well, they were telling the message, that's all we need. Just get the people to love. And that gives us our foothold. Now, people, there is teaching in the scriptures that we are to forgive our enemies. We're to turn the other cheek. We're to do good to those who do evil to us. But you've got to make the right division in Scripture and understand the Scriptures. When Jesus came and taught, he came to the house of Israel and made it very clear, the Scriptures do, and he made it clear. I came only unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he was telling the family of God how to get along with one another, how to get along with your Israelite kinsmen. And if he wrongs you, you forgive him. You don't call him Rekha, thou fool. You'll be in danger of the fires of hell yourself. But when that proper division is not made regarding what the Scriptures teach, and this ministry, of course, makes the proper division in the fact that it points out who the house of Israel is and how they are to respond to one another. Hold on a second. I got to take care of my...
Well, and that's one thing that these churches don't
What's
want
that?
You to... They don't want you to recognize that there's different groups of people, because once you recognize that there's different groups of people, you start discerning, okay, is there aliens... And there's non-aliens, there's goats and there's sheep, there's tares and there's wheat. And you start making these divisions, and they just want to throw everybody into one group and say, well, you got to forgive everybody, you got to love everybody. And they do away with the groups, and then you can't make the divisions.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you said, you know, about the Judeo-preachers earlier, Jason. But the problem is they are working for the other side. Now, I don't know when this happened, how many, you know, tens of hundreds of years ago. I don't know. I suppose when they got into the
mission. I think it happened about the first of the century there, Kyle.
Right. You know, because I was talking to Richard earlier this week, and, you know, I was saying, I would just like to know how men reacted 100 or 200 years ago. You know, I mean, suppose you woke up in the morning or in the middle of the night and you heard somebody stealing your wagon wheel. You know, are you going to go out there and, because I've had the kind of that experience. I woke up in the middle of the night and had somebody siphoning my gas out of my car before. Well, I chased them down the road, you know. Well, 100 or 200 years ago, it would have been pull up your bead and let them have it. You know, I mean, it was just a totally different, you know, and nobody would have came at that man who would do that and say, you need to have more love. You know, I mean, there are people... You know, whether people want to believe it or not, that God created for destruction. You know, he created vessels to honor and vessels to dishonor. And if we, as Christians, judge a tree by its fruit, we'll find out who a lot of those people are. You know, and so it doesn't take a genius to figure out who am I supposed to hate? Who am I supposed to love? I mean, I know it's a spell and sorcery that's been done in this land for a long time. You know, it's just, I just can't wait for the spell to be over and we can say, remember that spell? You know, but, you know, just kind of where I am right now, so.
Yeah, remember that spell that the whole nation was under?
Yeah, the whole world,
when they looked to those that deny Jesus Christ as God's chosen people? Remember that spell when we thought that everybody had to love one another? Yeah, you know, hopefully it's going to be our children and grandchildren that are saying that, if not us here shortly, you know, that.
Well, remember that spell when the wicked were in the land,
yeah.
You know, and they're not here no more?
Right.
Well, and I think that they recognize that when people start waking up to that spell and they come out of it, they're worried about just a few coming out of it because they know that when a few come out of it that there's going to be more because of the collective consciousness of the United, or of the world. And it reminds me of that, the 100th monkey study that they did back in the 50s, and Pastor, you talked about that from church. Do you remember that story that you gave about the 100th monkey?
I don't remember the number 100, but as I remember the monkey story and as I had read it, and I'll share it with people who have never heard it. They did an experiment with these monkeys on an island, and they took a monkey. And they taught this monkey, the monkey had a certain food that it ate on the island, but it took some of the monkeys and taught the monkeys to wash the food before they ate the food. And it just took a few, and then suddenly all the monkeys were doing it on the island. They were washing the food, just like they saw the monkey leaders doing, and then they'd eat the food that was washed. Well, that doesn't seem too out of the ordinary. I mean, they're observing it and then all of a sudden imitating it. But the interesting thing about the story is that there were other islands where the same breed of monkeys they were working with were on. And there was no connection between the islands. And the monkeys on the other island started doing the same thing. In other words, they picked up this consciousness. It was like a social consciousness. And they started behaving in the same way. Is that the story you were
talking
about?
Yeah, that's what I was. And it was, they had 99 monkeys on one island, and they were had been feeding them sweet potatoes, but they had dirt on the sweet potatoes, so they taught the monkeys to wash it off in the streams before they ate them. And pretty soon, all 99 monkeys on the island were doing it, and then up to, I think it was 300 miles away, 280, 300 miles away on a different island where these monkeys never had any association, they'd been never seen, never been off the island, nothing. Started taking sweet potatoes and started washing them in the same manner that these monkeys were taught to over 300 miles away. And it just shows you that there's a collective consciousness that is, there's something else out there. When you have a thought and you're thinking something, it's radiating a frequency. It's going out and there's other people can pick up on it. And I think that that's one of the reasons that they want to stop anybody from having any in between the groups, you know, tares, wheat, goats, sheep. They want to stop the hatred, anybody from having any hatred at all for the wicked. You're not allowed to hate the wicked, because if a few people start to hate the wicked, it's going to be in the consciousness, and other people can pick up on it.
Yeah, right. Now, you know, that reminds me of, well, Pastor's telling the story and you're talking, Jason, is if we've all seen the hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil, and it's always monkeys, you know. I mean, it's always a picture of three monkeys, you know, one of them's got their eyes covered, one of them's got their ears covered, you know. I mean, it's just, it's really strange, because that's the vibe that has went out throughout the land, you know, and everybody does it. They walk around and act like, oh, I don't know, I don't see no evil, there's good in everybody, and all the, you know, it's just like they're in a trance.
Yeah, right now down in Texas, they have over in a small town in Texas, they have arrested 18 black Utes. 18 black youths, and have charged them all with basically raping an 11-year-old Hispanic girl over the course of an entire evening. And they videotaped it and put it up on YouTube. And that this was back several months ago, back in like November when it happened. And they just recently, in the last couple of weeks, got around to finding out who these people are and arresting them and that kind of stuff. And, you know, you just see one little piece here and one little piece there of it. And one thing on the news said, oh, the, you know, racial tensions are high. It's a small town of like 8,000, so everybody knows everybody else. And you know, there's no outrage. You know, this is going on the same time as the Charlie Sheen saga, and that's what everybody's watching. But there's no outrage, you know. As Kyle explained to me, I guess I just don't understand those black youth's culture, that I guess that's what they do, you know.
We need to love them.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was getting at, is that there's no hatred. Nobody says you have to hate these people. They don't even hate the acts of what they've done anymore. It's just we need to understand that, you know, these blacks had to ride the school bus to school when they did go to school, and you know, they lived on the other side of the tracks and blah blah blah, and oh Lord, awaken our people from this spell that they're under. There should be a hatred, you know. If that, Kyle, like you said, if we'd have woke up 100 years ago and that would have happened, if it did happen, they'd all been wiped out.
Right.
They'd all been lynched.
Been lynched. And that's what, you know, there's another dirty word. Talk about washing your mouth out, I think you mentioned the other day, is the lynching. And the lynching went on. There was an article in the news about that, Pastor. And they talked about how all these lynchings went on. And they said, now, understand that, you know, about 30% of the recorded lynchings were of white people that had broken the law. But they sure jump on that as an anti-black type of thing. But you're right. It was because our people hated then. They hated evil. They hated the assembly of evildoers, and they hated the evildoers. You know, when you make that choice to turn away from God and to steal, kill, and destroy, then, you know, you hate our God. You've turned away from any and all godly knowledge, and Christian people need to hate those that hate our God.
And they love to kill them. I mean, they having a lynching, that was a big deal. The community would come in, like down in Missouri, they would come in and have a picnic, the whole works, so everybody could sit and watch the lynching. You know, and the kids were there and said, now, this is what happens. This is what we do.
That's right.
To people that do these kind of things.
And you think that didn't get children's attention and make them pay attention when mom or dad was reading Proverbs to them about, you know, stay away from the evil ones, and that, you know, the evil lurk, they lay in wait, they want you to come with them. And so, you know the parents could teach the children then and have good examples right then and there. You know, when little Bobby or little George at 8 or 10 years old sees this man, you know, strung up and his eyeballs pop out and other things happen, that makes a lasting impact. And I think too that, Jason, like you mentioned about the frequency that gets put out on this love, I think that put a frequency out of righteousness, of law, of order, of justice, and when that frequency was in the land, that's what the people were thinking. It went from this town to that town, from this people to that people, and the evil ones understood that, and they did not flourish like they do today.
Point well taken. I think that's why, you know, a lot of people see a ministry like Scriptures for America as something radical. Well, I realize that it's not wasted. It's not in vain, because Jesus said, whatever I reveal to you in darkness, proclaim on that rooftops. And there's been times I've thought to myself and actually told the Lord, they're going to think I'm crazier than a fruitcake if I go talking about this stuff. but I know I'm supposed to. Well, now, as time went on, I realized why it's supposed to. Because the frequency is put out there. The truth is put out there. And pretty soon, people will start picking up on it. And it'll change their thinking one way or the other.
Well, how would you like to feel normal in this modern society that we live in?
Well, you know, normal for them is on antidepressants. You know, our people have to take pills to go to sleep. When they get up in the morning, they have to take their antidepressants to get through the day. The men have to take drugs to be able to have sex. We had talked about that the other day. I remember Rich mentioned that a couple weeks ago about how when we had Rich McClone on as a guest, how, you know, you got a headache, you take an Advil or a Tylenol or aspirin, and, make sure you take aspirin to keep your blood thin so you don't have a heart attack, and how all that just destroys your manhood. Ties right in with, I think, what you were talking about, that chemical castration. Was that last Saturday we were talking about that,
Yeah,
Jason?
That was last Saturday.
And you know, to the people out there, that's the norm. You know, having to have these monsters and Red Bull drinks all day long to get by. That's the norm for our youth. And, going to the doctor and having this cut out and that cut out and this chemo and, now we're doing this. That's the norm. Yeah, I find it very hard to even imagine being like that. And to the world, that's being sane in this insane world, I guess. Isn't that how they look at it?
All right.
Well, why don't we go to a bit of good news here? We've got it in this latest newsletter, Pastor. It's an email from South Africa, and I'd like to share it with everybody, if that's all right. It sure uplifted my spirits when I read it and when we got it and was able to talk with these people. But it says, "Dear Scriptures for America, it was nice talking to you earlier." We had spoken with them earlier. "It's good to know that the Lord's Spirit works His wonderful truth in the hearts of His children, even if we are scattered all over the world. As I said, the SFA sermons and Bible studies are like manna to us, and we are learning so much. My husband says that until recently, it felt like we were on a cross-border operation with no contact with headquarters. That is, of course, until we found Scriptures for America on the Internet. It is so interesting to notice that the same tidal wave of nations are hitting the world where God's people are currently residing. Here in South Africa, the indigenous ones have always been here, but now we are overwhelmed by the rest of Africa as well. Well, we read about the time of Jacob's trouble, and I guess we are experiencing it in this time as well. It's wonderful to see how prophecies are being fulfilled in our time, and we hold fast to the promises made by our Lord. We love the SFA song, Standing on the Promises. May the Lord bless the SFA ministry," and it's from a Christian family in Cape Town, South Africa.
Well, that's encouraging, isn't it?
It is.
You know, you talk about, this is something, we'll go back a little bit on this earthquake in Japan and all. It'll be kind of interesting to note what happens here, because when Haiti got hit with an earthquake, why, they had the Bush family and they had the Clintons and everybody coming up and raising money. Got to send all this money. There's billions raised for Haiti, and that's just a little outfit down there. Those people are still down there living in tents and barely making it, the whole works. But who got all that money? And what'd they do with all that money? Well, the watcher crowd, they're the ones that took that, skimmed it off. And, of course, then they used that whole situation to get us to run down there and adopt out some little black babies to help pollute the bloodline up here in God's people as they bring them up here. But the point I'm getting to is you didn't hear a thing about sending help and aid to New Zealand at Christchurch, and they're still out of, there's tens of thousands of homes that are destroyed and can never be lived in again. The sewage situation is something fierce when you think of those many people. But you never heard any national cry to send money over there to those white people. Now, I'm just wondering what they're going to do, these alien bastards that are the media manipulators in this country, when it comes to Japan now. We're going to have all kinds of aid going to Japan. Are people going to wake up and realize that we discriminate against white people? Just thought I'd better put that out there.
I wonder how many do you say were so far died over there?
I got a news report from Yahoo News, and it said, let's see, they'd found over 300 bodies, another 130 were confirmed killed, so almost 500 confirmed killed, another over 500 missing, and then over 600 injured. And that
you're
was
talking about Japan.
In Japan.
Yeah.
Now, did you ever hear, Richard, if they found that passenger train that they were reporting on the news that was missing?
I didn't. I looked at it again on Friday morning and didn't see anything on it. Japan had a nuclear power plant that basically got messed up, and they evacuated it, shut it down, and told all the people that lived around it to move at least a few more miles away, and they still didn't know what was going on with that. And so it's a mess over there in Japan, and you tie it into it seems like they've covered this new Japan quake more than they even did that large quake down in Christchurch, New Zealand.
But
there were without hundreds down there killed, yeah. And
they were saying that the Christchurch, the city, will probably never be restored. I mean, it's in that bad of shape, and you don't hear nothing about it, you know.
And hundreds of thousands of people that live there, I think.
Yeah,
that they're in the surrounding communities, you know, that come into there to do their business and that type thing. And still, like you said, Pastor, tens of thousands displaced from their homes. And, but you know, that Charlie Sheen, we just got to see if he's going to make it back on his movie or not. Or you know, now he's suing Warner Brothers for $100 million. So we'll get that'll be the next big thing to watch.
Well, people better be watching it, because the Day of the Lord events are getting more intense, heavier in the painfulness of them, more frequent, and they're moving ever closer to this land. And I got one man on the ministry claims that, and he's got some good stuff, and he's charted it out, and we're dealing with months, literally just a few months right now.
Pastor, you mentioned something, maybe it was Thursday night when we were on, but something about the moon doing something here on the 91st days in a couple of weeks. We've still got about 15 minutes. Could you elaborate on that a little?
Well, the way I understand it, that moon's going to be closer to the Earth than ever. And people are anticipating the gravitational effect of that thing. They don't know exactly how it's going to respond and affect us. But it's called, I forget the name of it, the kind of moon that it is. But I think it's rather significant. It's hitting right on the 91st days that we're telling people to keep. So there are things coming right down.
Yeah, we ought to tell people about that 91st day, too. It starts at what, noon today?
No, it's, let's see. Today is, this broadcast is the 12th, March 12th.
Oh, then it's a week from today.
It's a week from Friday. It's Friday.
Oh, a week from, okay.
Yeah, it basically ends the solar year of 2010, and it's March 18th, it'll actually be 1 o'clock, because tomorrow is daylight savings time, so tonight we have to turn our clocks forward to, if you're going to stay up with daylight savings time.
Yeah, everybody get out of bed at 2 a.m. and go set the clocks forward.
Yeah, let's make sure we do that. But so it'll be Friday, March 18th, starting at 1, until Saturday, the 19th, and then being that it's the year end, there's a double day. And so it's Saturday the 19th from 1 till Sunday. And then, of course, Sunday, the new solar year begins. Sunday the 20th, March 20th, is the spring equinox. And that begins the new solar year. And then, of course, 14 days after that, on Saturday, April 2nd, begins Passover in the afternoon. And we'll have an event there at the church for Passover. But yes, the 91st days are next Friday and Saturday. Jason, you've done an excellent job getting that information right up on the new website. I saw that, and it looks real good. So, people, if you have any questions or concerns, or you don't understand what the 91st days are, you can go right to our website, scriptures4america.org, and right there on the very front, there's a place to click a link that tells you the information about the 91st days. It's some writings from the pastor from the letter we sent out this year for the dates, and then it's also some background writings from 2001, 2005, 2006. And I know the way that I picture them in my mind are basically God created Adam to tend the garden, to be an agricultural person, and that these 91st days are basically Sabbaths between the seasons. You know, when God created man to be an agricultural person and to tend the garden, he also intended to give him some rest, to give him a break every so often, so that he could catch his breath and he could worship God and wouldn't have to work all the time. And so we have that seventh day Sabbath that we observe, and then there's also a Sabbath between the seasons. It just kind of makes sense to me. But we do have that coming up, and then also in just a couple of weeks, we're having a Passover service on the evening of Saturday, April 2nd at the LaPorte Church of Christ. We've got a letter out to the people here locally in the local states, inviting them, and we've mentioned it in the last couple of newsletters. And I got a note the other day, I think I mentioned it Thursday night, Pastor, we have a man from New York that's coming out to get baptized at the Passover service, so thought that was quite interesting.
New York, that's a long ways away.
It is.
Well, and back to the Day of Lord events, this 8.9, you know, earthquake that hit Japan is affecting it's affecting the shores of Oregon. It's affecting the northern shores of California. I haven't heard an update on it, but I know there was traffic jams getting away from the beach in Oregon and places that I've visited before. Because, you know, if the water just raises 2 or 3 feet there, it floods a lot of homes. I mean, it's going to destroy a lot of things. Now, I haven't heard the update. I don't know. You know, I know it went by Hawaii and didn't cause much damage, you know. But you know, you're talking about an earthquake that was in Japan, you know. And Mother Nature didn't cause that earthquake, people. I don't care what you think, you know.
Not at all.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, you know. Our God the Father has control over everything, you know, and, you know, I don't know what the results are going to be, but just something like that, you know, where you got traffic jams halfway around the world, or all the way around the world, really, you know, just, you know, trying to get away from something that happened in Japan, that just shows you, you know, it ain't going to take much for him, you know, to turn this world upside down.
Oh, absolutely. And the effects it'll have on the money markets, upon the food supplies, the whole works.
Yep.
Well, gentlemen, we have just about wrapped up another morning of Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here from the Radio Ranch. We've got just a few minutes here to wrap up. Pastor, if you want to maybe give the
people
something. I'll
let you wrap it up. You're doing a great job.
Well, I would just have to say, in light of these Day of the Lord events, people, repent. Read your Bible. You may believe that Jesus is Lord, and that's good, but that's only a start. That's not the end. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings and the only begotten Son of God, read your Bible. Get a good Bible, a King James Bible, a New American Standard Bible, an Amplified Bible, and read your Bible, and get into the Word. Because when this destruction comes, the only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ.
Amen to that.
What do you got to say, Jason?
I say the Lord's going to get these people's attention one way or another, and might as well heed these warnings that are coming and start having to have some fellowship with him now instead of waiting until that last minute.
Amen.
Kyle?
Well, I'll throw a little love into this. I kind of miss you, Pastor. You know, I'm ready for you to get back home. And but anyway, I was in the office. I don't know how much time we got. I was in the office the other day when the pastor calls Richard, and you know, and I'm thinking, is he going to say, you know, how's Kyle doing? You know, and pretty soon I hear Richard saying, oh, he's doing great. He's running around here chasing cats. And I thought, well, he asked about Hatchet, you know. But anyway, I'll get over it. But
hey, ladies and gentlemen, you know, one thing that comes to my mind is that we got a treatise called Revealing the Man of Sin or the Man of Lawlessness. We brought that out a few years ago, pointing out that that's the start of the Day of the Lord events, and they've been picking up ever since. And if you'd like a copy of that, you write to us and we'll send it to you. It'll give you understanding as to what we've got in the church pulpits today and why, and what these Day of the Lord events mean. So we'll offer that to you for this program.
Well, and with that, I guess we'll say good morning, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Again, these messages are brought because of the faithful that do send in their tithe and support to us. Our address again, Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And the website, scripturesforamerica.org. Well, thank you, man. Have a great day and a great weekend.
Adios, man.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more, snake high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.